Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we're joined by Cynthia Hasslinder and also Janet Manco. Good morning for you two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm going to start off with the main topic for today. There's a lot of news that has happened this week, but I think this is news that will rest easy with everybody, and that is the Lakeville Journal Company has now gained nonprofit status. First of all, congratulations. That's not an easy application to fill out, as I can attest to. So congratulations to that. And I guess, Cynthia and Janet, this puts into motion a whole range of things that opened up for the Lakeville Journal.
That's right.
I'm gonna let Janet.
Of course, Cynthia wrote the story, and this is something we've been working toward for 2 years. It's not given, as I think we've talked about here before, that a small newspaper media company would gain nonprofit status. And so we decided to take the plunge and give it a try, especially because for the past 2 years we've had such overwhelmingly great support from our readers to keep us here and just have contributed to us with no benefit except having us here. So we now know that they'll be able to, according to the law, get tax benefits, and we'll be able to apply for different kinds of grants than we could apply for when we were not nonprofit, and we'll be learning as we go along. And so I may be giving you a call, Marshall, to get some advice.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, the main thing that we had to learn, and when you make a small mistake, it really, when you're a nonprofit, it hits home. When we first started, we ran some announcements on the air for the Salisbury Chamber of Commerce. I think it was a total of 80 announcements in 2 months to benefit Hometown Holidays. Well, someone locally filed a complaint against us, and we found out that that might have broken the law because we did not identify the group as being a nonprofit group. We had to spend $10,000 on a lawyer and another $10,000 so the FCC would not move further on it. We learned our lesson. We learned it early. So when things like that happen, and there's going to be mistakes made, Janet, all I can tell you is you just move on, and because you can't possibly know everything that you're going to be allowed to do and not to do in the beginning.
Right, and in many ways, we're kind of reinventing the wheel as far as publications go in our size group doing this. Now, of course, we already are so accustomed to so many regulations as newspapers and, revealing source, revealing who is doing what in our pages. We always have that hanging over our heads and disclosure, and we are glad to have that. So, try to keep alert, and we'll do the best we can to serve our readers and move forward. And we have more hope of doing that now than we did 2 years ago, that's for sure.
And also, with something like this, when something's brand new and you're doing it, hey, you there's just bound to be some errors along the way. People should just be patient. But I just think we're leading off with this, not just simply because you do the show here, but local media is so important. And as we now see here now, Janet, with you going nonprofit, basically the real local media for this area has both radio and newspaper have gone to the nonprofit status.
Right, and this is a way to be here where there is not as much commerce and population as in other places. And, whether we have a lot of commerce or more people living here, we certainly believe our lives and their lives are important, and we want to keep covering them.
Well, we'll follow all the changes, but congratulations. Like I said, I know it took me working by myself about 4.5 months to put the application together and submit it. And I know you as breaking even newer ground as a newspaper, a small newspaper, have put a lot of work into it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to the other story, which was a big story, and that is Sharon Hospital is planning to shutter its labor and delivery unit. I spoke to some. We spoke to some doctors after that was announced, and they were upset about it. They didn't agree with it. They didn't really want to go on the air. But also, there's people in the public, and you've got a great story that goes with that. And Cynthia, I'll let you handle both Deborah's and your story about that medical staff in that call where they voted 25-1 to oppose that plan.
And I'd like to say that this week there's so much news in this issue, including the Discover Salisbury. It really does make you. It's a great week for us to be able to announce our nonprofit status, because you can see there's really important stories here. You know, we're a weekly. We're not able to get everything out on the day, but we are able to give everything more space to take a little time to sort of examine all the sides of it and get everything out there. So the Sharon Hospital story, perfect example of that. New Vance did a meeting on Zoom on Wednesday night with all of the top New Vance people, and a representative, you know, from the doctors community, Mark Marshall, who, you know, is working with New Vance Corporate, but is also very well respected, very well liked doctor here. And there's a lot of things on their list of what's coming up, and definitely everybody should follow the link in the article and go watch the full presentation, because this is important to us. But it's an interesting moment where you see the intersection of what happens when medical care and financial concerns kind of hit each other. And New Vance seems to be proceeding with what they have been saying all along, which is we're going to try and centralize medical care so that if you're in the Sharon Hospital catchment area, we're going to have an emergency department there for you, but more and more we're going to be moving care off to our other larger hospitals and have you go to a place that specializes it. And the doctors do concede that when you have a specialty such as obstetrics, it's to the benefit of the patient and the doctor to have more cases rather than fewer. And as Carrie Eaton, the CFO, said, a lot of people are choosing not to go to Sharon Hospital already, and so as the numbers decrease, it just gets harder and harder to keep competent doctors there who are getting the kind of experience that they need. However, for the doctors and for the public, it's hard, and as you know, as you said, the doctors don't necessarily want to come out and discuss this in public. And Michael Parker,
yep,
very courageously called us up and said, I really want to talk about this, and I want to let you know about this vote, and sort of said, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, here's what I see. And, of course, he's one of the few primary care doctors remaining in the area. And he said, you know, I had to lock my door 15 years ago because I can't handle any more patients. He is not a New Vance staff doctor. He is an independent doctor with access to the hospital. He has worked with the different, you know, corporate organizations that run the hospital. But definitely people should read his article as well, explaining, you know, what the challenges are going to be for us as a community as New Vance proceeds with its plans.
All right. This is a story that is going to be front and center as we leave 2021 and head to 2022 for sure. A couple of really great, well-attended marches in our region for women's marches. And even the Sharon Hospital story gets in on that story as well.
That's right. We had marches in Kent and in Salisbury, very well attended. I'm going to let Janet talk about the one in Salisbury because she actually went and covered it. But Lance Christensen did the one in Kent. Always very, you know, people with great signs, intelligent, thoughtful, caring. Maria Horn, who is like Hermione in the Harry Potter stories, manages to be every place at once. Susan Bizowitz, our lieutenant governor, was down in Kent. So a lot of really interesting people in sport. And really what this is essentially is it's about access to reproductive rights, which is exactly what we're talking about with the Sharon Hospital issue, too. This is about your access to reproductive rights. But, Janet, do you want to talk about the Salisbury March?
No, just what you said. It was a large, active crowd. More than 150 people gathered on the White Hart Green, and really good speakers. We quote some of them here. Maria Horn, you know, she must have raced up from Kent to get to the Salisbury March as quick as she could. And Heidi Truax, Episcopal priest from Trinity Church in Lime Rock, and really the speakers in Kent, I know, were also excellent, and the crowd was supportive and, as you said, yeah, well-ordered, but very committed.
And to go along with that, we had a judge yesterday basically try to strike down what happened in Texas. We'll see what happens. That was a judge that was appointed by Barack Obama, by the way. It seems like a lifetime ago.
Right.
All right, let's go to the other story, which is actually a big story, too, and that is Joyce Lanier leaving the North House Council of Governments, and she's moving on to a position where she's going to deal with housing, affordable housing for the entire region.
This is, and thank you for saying that, because this is a small story that's very big. It's important. Jocelyn Ayer has been very active in our community. She actually lives here in the community. She is, I think, the second from in command at the Northwest Hills Council of Governments, which is made up of the first selectmen from 21 area towns. And what they do is they come together, they meet once a month, they share grants, they share information. And Jocelyn has also been, and Janelle Mullen, who's newer there and sort of works under Jocelyn, have been consulting with towns on their affordable housing plans as we move toward the state-mandated deadline of 2022 to have these plans ready. And there had been a lot of pushback against COG this year, from mostly from Cornwall, you know, where people think very deeply about things. And we got a lot of letters and a lot of emails this year from people saying that they had concerns about what was going on there. And there's a new head of COG that stepped in June. His name is Rob Phillips. And so Jocelyn is leaving now at the end of the year to go work for a Litchfield County affordable housing organization. And we don't know whether Janelle will stay or not. But happy for Jocelyn that she's found something that is clearly a passion of hers. Rob Phillips said they have not yet decided how they're going to replace Jocelyn or who they will be talking to. They didn't immediately say, well, Janelle will step up. So we'll see what happens there.
All right, taking a look at, we do have a lot of news. Once again, in Cornwall, they had a public forum for affordable housing. In Falls Village, they continue to discuss the liability or non-liability for their housing grant. And Hilltop Road residents in Sharon, they want action on speeding.
Yeah, the Hilltop Road story is very interesting. It's a very active group. It's a small road, and probably everybody's traveled it at some point. If you're on Route 4 and you're going into Sharon, you want to go to the shopping plaza. Many people shortcut there, and, of course, the school is there, too. And many beautiful houses on that road. And a relatively new group of residents has kind of gone like, whoa, there's a lot of high-speed cars moving down this road because, of course, people are shortcutting. They're in a hurry. But also you often have people, you know, lots of car traffic going back and forth with the school. And so a group of residents is pushing very aggressively to try and get speed humps or speed bumps on that road. And Brent Colley and the selectmen are kind of looking into it, but also sort of saying, you know, there are a lot of reasons why people don't like speed humps and speed bumps, and especially because you have a school there, you don't want to ever slow down the emergency services vehicles. So it's an interesting, strong fight that's about to go on. And then at that same meeting where they discussed Hilltop Road, and actually as a side note, in Sharon on October 15th, a trooper from Troop B is going to be in Sharon Friday, October 15th at 3 o'clock at Veterans Field talking about an increase in crime, an increase in speeding. It's not actually just on Hilltop Road. There's a number of places, well, as we know, there's a number of places all over the northwest corner where people are driving very, very fast all the time, including us.
And Hilltop Road is a perfect example because it's such a short road, but it goes by a school and through a residential area. And if you've ever been on that road and see somebody zoom down it, you know how there's people that go 50 miles an hour on that road. So it's an important thing to look at. You know, what's interesting here, though, also is the Board of Finance in Sharon. They're deciding about funds for the Sharon Housing Authority.
And so there's a lot of public affordable housing on this page, and Sharon Ridge is one of the first most successful affordable housing developments here in the region. And it relates to this Falls Village story because it's a question about, it's not really a town organization, but it kind of is. It's like the libraries and the ambulance. They're kind of, but they're kind of not. And so Sharon Housing Authority has done a very good job of running Sharon Ridge development, and they had built a number of new residences a while ago. And we still have to do more digging on this. My understanding, though, is that when those houses were put in, they decided they wanted to do geothermal because they thought, oh, we'll save, you know, on the heating bills for these residents, which, you know, anybody who lives in the northwest corner, you know, that's a huge part of your budget. But it turned out to not quite work the way that they thought, and these residents ended up having higher bills. And so they rejiggered the whole HVAC system. Eversource at the time had said that they would help them out financially with that. Anybody who's watching knows this is a very bad time for Eversource. They're getting hit all over the place with, you know, government concern about their response to storms, and they've been doing cutbacks, so they don't have a ton of money floating around. So it's not clear that the town is going to get those funds that were sort of promised to them. So this is a whole discussion about, you know, the government and the town government, whether the town government's liable to pay for this loan and, you know, about $100,000. So it was discussed at the Board of Selectmen's meeting. It was sent forward to the Board of Finance. They'll discuss it, and then it'll go to a town meeting. But that's essentially what they're talking about in Falls Village as well, which is if they build this affordable housing project, the federal grant for it has to go through the town. If for some reason there's a problem with that Falls Village affordable housing development, will the town be on the hook for about $800,000, and will taxpayers have to then pick up that cost, which is, you know, that's a lot of money. So all connected on the front page.
All right, interesting story at the end of that, the Board of Finance story. Sharon got themselves a brand new replacement for Ella Clark, and the replacement for Ella Clark, who everybody knows in town, Mary O'Reilly, took a job back at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, so we now have Donna DiMartino in that position.
And boy, are we lucky, because Donna's amazing.
Yes.
And she was a nurse and an important at Salisbury visiting nurse, and anybody who's had an end-of-life situation knows that when Donna shows up, it's just such a relief. She's so competent. She's so kind. But it's weird. They've had a hard, and, you know, Ella Clark, literally hard shoes to fill. She was so amazing as a social services agent. And I think they've had now two different people who have come in and left within a year. And Mary O'Reilly, of course, is the wife of the former principal of Sharon Center School, Philip O'Reilly, and she'd been a longtime Spanish teacher at Housatonic. So she's now going back into the school system and is teaching again.
And you've got a big ad that has been placed by Salisbury Lake Homeowners, which is a news story if anybody has been following planning and zoning or the inland wetlands in Salisbury. There's a big brush up between maybe expanding regulations and not. And this is a very interesting two-page ad which explains exactly what the problem is.
It's fascinating not only because it gives an explanation, but because you see all the names of the people that signed the petition, and it's a very unexpectedly diverse group. We had sort of been feeling all along that it was sort of a, you know, Hatfield and McCoy thing between the Lakeville Lake property owners who are very vigilant, and the Twin Lakes property owners who have been vocally opposed to new regulations from the Inland Wetlands Conservation Commission. And this is something that hits people in all of our towns, which is when there's water, and that includes the Housatonic River or a lake, more and more there's legislation to protect that water because there's a lot of chemical runoff and there's a lot of, you don't want to have a lot of activity along the shores because a lot of the water bodies are dying because, you know, minerals are getting in there, grass is getting in there, you've got invasive plants getting in there, you've got invasive animals getting in there. So Salisbury's, the Lakeville Lake group, had come to town and said, you know, we'd like to tighten up the restrictions a little bit and actually have them at least meet the state standards. So Inland Wetlands is doing their best to kind of revise these regulations. People in the Twin Lakes initially had been the ones to kind of say, like, we don't want somebody telling us that we have to get a permit to mow our lawn, which is not exactly, like, I think the people in the Lakeville Lake group are saying that the Twin Lakes people are exaggerating a little bit. But so it's worth watching. It doesn't just impact people who live on these two lakes. It also impacts anybody who's in any of our towns and lives near water, whether you have a pond on your property or a river. It's going to be interesting to see whether they're able to come to an agreement on what these regulations should be.
All right, and the Our Towns page, we've got a couple of stories of North Canaan and a couple from Lakeville.
Nice to see kids able to do art projects together as a group. Nice project at North Canaan Elementary, where Alicia Roy continues to be a very interesting principal and is doing a lot of interesting projects. And then students at Salisbury Central School's after-school program, inspired by Ellen Graystick of Sharon and her American Mural project in Winstead. And then Marietta Whittlesey, who is a very interesting longtime local person, had been an equestrian and a journalist. And she's been doing a lot of work with people. She's a therapist and has a lot of support with people with PTSD and stress, but also was working now with people who are trying to reach peak performance and even using hypnosis and some more progressive kind of therapies. And then Melanne Murray had called us up and said, hey, we're having our anniversary at the Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club, which is on Route 7, just down the road from us here. It's in North Canaan. And an interesting place and a nice sort of story. I think that, you know, people have an inclination to think, you know, that hunters and, you know, that and people who use bows are not thinking about the environment. And what they'll often say is, we're thinking the most about the environment because we're out there in it all the time, and it's important to us to keep the populations of animals healthy without letting them overwhelm the resources that are available to them. So, you know, interesting always, and a nice story by Hunter Lyle.
All right, we have a few minutes left. Let's go to the editorial page and the opinion pages. Janet, your editorial talks about the change for the Lakeville Journal.
That's right. We give further details on how the process began and how it went and who helped us with it, including two law firms, one in D.C. and one in Hartford. Really amazing support that helped us get where we are today. And this is part of our ongoing pledge to be transparent and to disclose everything we're doing. So by all means, give it a read. We talk about the fact that we're not going to be endorsing during elections. However, we will continue to sponsor candidate forums with the League of Women Voters, and we did one just last night in Amenia. So that was exciting, and we're excited to continue that and continue to serve our readership, even expanding it with different sorts of grants and support that we should be able to access. So, and we have plenty of good letters, different topics, the hospital, the women's marches, resignation of Bill Willis as a Board of Finance member after many years of service, 24 years, about time he got some free time. And two columns, one Bill Schmick on the shortage of natural gas, and Dick Ollis on whether our current administration, the president, is another FDR, LBJ, or Jimmy Carter. So give that a read.
And you've got Peter Steiner's cartoon and editorial as well there. I guess we can go right now to the Tri-Corner calendar and see what's going on in our region entertainment-wise.
So very quickly, we have a three-page compass, which is exciting, and we are able to put in a list of books from some local authors and some other some streaming choices from Ed Furman and Patrick on why he loves P.G. Whithouse. But we'd really like to talk about Discover Salisbury, our 40-page supplement with a lot of history on Salisbury. And we do these Discover special issues a couple times a year, and we do different towns in our coverage area. And Salisbury got so much influx of new people and so much influx of attention during COVID with the real estate boom here. People really wanted to move to Salisbury. And so we have a lot of new people who should be who want to learn about the town, but we also have a lot of people who maybe have lived here for a long time who are thinking like, oh, well, what's the fuss all about? And so we try to explain that in there. This is not just an interesting book for people who live in Salisbury. I would say any town you live in, it's very educational, and a beautiful cover photo by James Clark.
All right. And, of course, online, tricornernews.com at your newsstands and also home delivery. None of that's going to change, right, Janet?
That's right. Everything everything should pretty much be the same from the reader's point of view, except we are hoping to be able to expand how we cover what we cover and do some more things than we do now. So looking at this issue, it's hard to imagine because, boy, our folks really did a lot, and we're really proud of this issue. So don't miss it this week or the Millerton News.
All right. TriCornerNews.com, and it's the Lakeville Journal. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can hear this show every Thursday morning right around 8:35, where we take a look at some of the stories that you find in the Lakeville Journal, and also we stray over to the Millerton News as well. And as I said, you can find them whenever you want at tricornernews.com. You can get the editions of the paper there. You can get it home delivery or pick it up throughout the region through one of the many stores that have the Lakeville Journal on display.